Hey everybody, welcome to the Dr. K Show. I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and today I have Dr. Michaela with us here. She is a registered physiotherapist, a contemporary medical acupuncture provider, which is really cool, and hopefully we talk a little bit about that today. She's a neurofunctional sports performance practitioner and the founder and CEO of Instill Physio, and she's up in Canada. So really excited to have her today. Her practice focuses on empowering the female athlete in their health and sports performance through education and physiotherapy. So you can imagine this is why I really wanted to have Michaela on today. So welcome. So excited to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Well, give us a little intro to you. What do you do? How did you kind of get started with all of this? And what's, you know, sport? How did you get here?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'd have to go back to the very beginning. So I'll try
please
to
do.
So I grew up playing like every sport imaginable. I was always just interested in playing as many sports as I can. And I, like, when I think back, I'm like, I really wanted to be the best at every single sport, which, like, I don't know if that's common or not, but I just did. I thought like that was possible. And I had a great time doing it. So sport has been integral to my life for sure. And I kind of love thinking about, so both my parents were athletes, and my mom was always like that mom who was like, you can do whatever the boys do, like, don't ever let that stop you. And so I grew up not having any clue of this inequity in sport, which I think was like great until now. And now I want to do something about that. But so I never, ever thought that I was lesser than a male athlete or that I wouldn't have the same opportunities. So I think sport taught me a lot about that, which is awesome. So then naturally, one injury or another, I think it was more like in university probably, and I would go to physio because I couldn't run, and that was the thing I was doing at the time. And that sucked. Like, I hated missing sports, fitness, activity. Like, that was just such a massive part of my life that anything that took me out of that was like not okay. So then it just evolved, and I ended up in physiotherapy, thinking I would go into working with athletes, and kind of learning a tough lesson at that point where I thought I was going to work with a sports team, and hearing that was the first time I heard a message of inequality, which was like, oh, well, you'll never get hired by a sports team because you're a female. They won't hire a female practitioner. And I was like, oh, and I remember thinking like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then getting so mad, like, why would I think that makes sense? And why would someone say that to me?
Right.
So that was my first kind of introduction into like, oh, there's a difference here.
Yep.
And so then physiotherapy, and I did a bunch of different things. I worked in pediatric rehab. I worked in publicly funded geriatric care, amputee rehab. And then I opened my own practice, and I had taken a course that was for external treatment of the pelvic floor. I didn't know that at the time. I thought I was going to learn up the core, which I did learn about. And it's Julie Weeb, a physical therapist in California. She's amazing. So if you work or want to work with female athletes on the movement piece, like, I cannot recommend her course enough. And I remember learning about these issues that females were having after having a baby and returning to sport and fitness, and they didn't have to be that way. You know, like, these are not, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, this is crazy. Like, it's just because there's not the right information available. Like, people just don't know about this. Like, I didn't know about it. Everyone I worked with did not know about it. And then ensued, I just started to see all the gaps in care for females, female athletes, like, whether you want to walk your kids to school every day or you want to be the best athlete on the soccer team, there's just so many gaps in knowledge, and knowledge informs care. And so I just became incredibly invested in learning as much as I could, helping as many people as I could. And naturally, it's just grown into more focus on the female athlete, which aligns for me because I'm also a female athlete.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Here we are. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. But there's so much needed in that realm, though. You know, I mean, I think as I've been watching over the past 10 years, just in that alone, there's so much more information that's getting out there and becoming available, because some very pivotal people are finally like getting the research done, they're making those changes, and then they're teaching about it to coaches and practitioners and all of that. And so it's finally starting to make its way, but there's a lot more room to grow.
There is. And I've like been fortunate to work with some super open-minded people. And then also there's still so much resistance that it just makes me mad, but I'm like, you know what? That's my fuel. So I'll keep going. And I know you'll keep going. And there's lots of other people. I think it's really cool because now that the research, we've had a little conversation about this, but the research is starting to come. And then you start to connect with so many people all over the world who have been like learning this along the way, kind of in the shadows. And now the research is starting to prove what we thought, what we knew, what we've been doing. And so that's really like uniting everyone, which I think is just awesome.
Yeah, you touch on a really good point. I mean, part of what I didn't have the words or like the explanation for some of the things that I was seeing in clinic. And I knew that something was different, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. You know, when you work with nutrition, when you work with the physical body too, on top of that, there's a lot of things that are just, that just end up being different. But if you don't have the background, like my schooling did not touch at all on some of these differences. Right.
Yeah.
Even in the functional medicine, like nutrition side of things versus like my chiropractic side of things, like we talk about hormones, we talk about, you know, obstetrics and gynecology, and we talk about all those things, but not in the perspective of how different the physiology really is. They imply it, right? But not how you actually apply it,
right?
And how it really can be different.
Yes.
So, gosh, I'm so excited for this talk today.
Me too.
So I wanted to jump in and give you some time, because really what I wanted to talk about today is so we know that obviously the female physiology is different, right? We look different, don't we? We have different angles, which by that I mean like we have typically a little bit slightly wider hips, so that puts different strains and stresses on our hips and on our knees, also on our low back and all of that. So there's some slight differences and changes there. Mm-hmm. But really what I wanted to dive into about that is a different way of looking at rehabilitation and injuries based on the female physiology. So why don't you take it from here and kind of give us an intro and walk us through what some of those differences are, maybe take a little bit of a deep dive into the differences of the female physiology and why that translates into something that turns out a little bit different when it comes to treating and in clinic.
Sure. Okay. So I'm approaching this so that your audience knows from the position of a physiotherapist. So usually when people come work with me, they're dealing with a pain problem.
Totally.
I also work with sport performance. So not dealing with injuries, but we're trying to optimize things. So when a female athlete comes to work with me, they're like, three key things that I really need to know about. And I'm just going to summarize these briefly. And part of it is like, you'll add a ton to with the nutrition. One is movement. And you touched on it a bit in terms of how our skeleton is different. Like not only are our pelvic organs different, but our skeleton is different. And so understanding that at puberty, there are skeletal changes that influence how you move, and they influence how you move because they influence your pelvic floor shape, your core shape, your hip muscles, as you alluded to, your thoracic position. You know, you develop breast tissue, which changes your center of mass. There's all those things. So just understanding, you don't have to like have all that nailed down, but you need to understand that those changes happen also while there are hormonal changes happening. Okay. So that's a big stage of change. So then I want to know like movement pieces, you know, something specific to the female athlete, like leaking urine, urge incontinence, stress urinary incontinence, not just after you've had a baby. So,
yes.
I mean, we could
that's
do
really like- key. I don't mean to interrupt, but that's really key because there are a lot of female athletes and women in general that leak when they, you know, leak a little bit of, they pee a little bit in their pants when they jump or when they do something, you know, like that have not had a baby. So
yes,
and that's not normal.
Common, not normal. Yes.
Go ahead.
And so I was like, I think we could do like a whole other episode.
For sure.
So there's a bunch there. And then there's energy and physiology. And I kind of have energy in the middle because it overlaps with the physiology and the movement. And I think the energy really also plays into your nutrition piece a lot that you talk about. So, and energy is the basic things like I want to know about sleep, your energy levels, you know, iron, like have you had your blood tested? Do you have low iron? Do you know that? That gets missed so much with female athletes and injuries, persistent injuries. Like,
I know.
It blows my mind sometimes. So again, I feel like that's a whole other conversation. And you're obviously your physiology plays into that. And I know you know this for sure. So then physiology. So I do deep dive into a lot of information with that with clients. So like, I want to know about your menstrual cycle. Do you have one? Is it regular? Do you have PMS? Do you have to like alter your lifestyle because of your PMS pain? Like tons of stuff. Is it light? Is it heavy? Like, I mean, again, we could go into so much detail, but I want to know all of that because you have, as a female with your physiology, every month you have an indicator of your health.
Yep.
And that is what your menstrual cycle is. And so if you're coming to me with a pain problem, like I need to know that because that's your basic health and you cannot have optimum healing and recovery and performance without having that baseline of optimum health.
Right.
And so I need to know all of that because that's going to play into you. Like before I look at anything, before I look at any movement, before I even ask about the pain problem, like I want to know that because that's going to play into like what I need to look at and consider for your injury. So if you are not getting your period, you know, did you have one and now you don't? Because then as you talk about, like, that's a massive energy deficit. Like, what is going on? And again, how, if you're coming in with like, let's say knee pain and you don't have enough energy to have your menstrual cycle, how is your knee going to recover from injury? It's not, it's just not.
Right.
And this gets missed all the time because it's like, oh, do more exercises. You know, you're weak, like you're tight. It's like, but yeah, there's not enough energy to recover and repair and heal from what you're doing. Of course, you're going to be weak, tight, have pain.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, so, and I think for some of the people who watch this show, they, and some of the interviews that I have and some of the podcasts, like this is why it's so important because, and why I touch so often on like micronutrients and vitamins and minerals and the impact that each of those have on the body isn't just from like the standpoint of nutrition and just make sure you're eating enough. It's not this calories in, calories out thing, which yes, in some ways gets you to a micronutrient deficiency, right? Yes. But they're the foundation. They're the baseline of how you get your cells to do their job. So like, if you want to repair and recover because of an injury or just from your workouts and trying not to get injured, right?
Yeah.
Like you got to have these things because otherwise without them, everything just starts to break down. And your period being one of them is one of the things that you will start to notice right off the bat if something isn't right.
Exactly.
Huge.
Exactly.
Huge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then needing to understand where that athlete is from baseline with that. And then I think like, there's like so many ways we could take this conversation. But another thing I really encourage athletes to do is to track their cycle because you may not know some of these things if you're not tracking it. And again, this can be like your ally in your training and your sport performance and your health. Cause as you just said, like there will be signs in your menstrual cycle that something's not right, potentially, most likely well before anything else starts to complain,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I like to have all my athletes track their cycle. And then if we're like, you know, if you want to take it to sport performance, and again, I know you talk about this, so by all means, jump on in. But like from an injury prevention, a pain management, a sport optimization position, like, I want to know, like, how are your symptoms throughout your cycle? Like, how's your recovery? Because then you can start supporting your training. So like, I like to give an example of, I work with a high level gymnast.
Yeah.
And we're doing more sport performance optimization, you know, big season coming up. And so this person is tracking their cycle And if they come in and I'm asking, like, how's their fatigue? How's your training? Like, how are these things going? You know, we look at like her symptoms, but then where is she at in her cycle? Is she a few days before she's about to menstruate? Because inflammation is higher there. So recovery is lower. So we don't need to freak out and think she's overtraining or dealing with a bunch of injuries. It's okay, well, what are we going to do to support you during this time nutritionally, which I know is your wheelhouse, but from a sleep perspective, from a treatment soft tissue perspective, from a training perspective. And that's how I think you can really start to use this information to manage training loads. Mm-hmm. So that you're again, like, working with that athlete where they are, but you need to have that understanding. Like, you need to have that knowledge,
right,
before that person sits down in front of you.
That's right.
Right.
It's huge. I had a great conversation actually on one of the episodes here, with a, gymnast, mindset coach, and also a physical therapist, Dr. Anthony. And we talked about how important it is to have a team, not just your sports team, but to have a team of doctors around you that understand who you are, right?
Yeah.
And how you're functioning, because the conversations aren't happening between young athletes, young female athletes, also middle-aged female athletes and their coaches. They're not happening. And they're also not happening necessarily with their practitioners either, just as you're talking about here. How many chiropractors or physical therapists are actually asking their patients, their female patients,
yeah,
where, like, they may ask at the beginning, right? Like, how are your periods? How are your, are you on birth control? They'll ask, you know, those things, but then it's never talked about again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. Especially when you're working, this is important regardless of whether you identify as being an athlete or not,
yes,
but particularly for people who are looking for that higher performance, you do need to understand where athletes are in this cycle. Because just as you said, if they're inflamed because they're going into their period, which is a normal thing, that's not,
yes,
this is not inflammation that's bad necessarily. Like, it can be bad. It can be a sign that inflammation is out of control in your body monthly. You're welcome,
yeah.
for that reminder.
Yeah.
But it also is, it's just understanding where they're at. And if you don't talk to your practitioner about your period and you don't know how to, if you don't talk to your coach about your period because you don't know how to, there's things you can learn in order to do that and open up those conversations. But this is why these conversations are so important, is because they do actually have an impact on how you look at recovery and,
yes,
and your training and all of it, the whole picture.
Bang on. Yeah. Bang on. It's huge. And it's going to be super, effective in helping female athletes. Right.
Yes.
So, you know, it's about, like, there's a big push for equality, equity in sport. And right, I'm like all for that, but like, we also have to have it in healthcare and,
yes,
in health for supporting, like, you can't have high performing female athletes without the right healthcare for them.
Yeah.
And, so,
and that includes on all levels. That's not just gender based. That's race. That's everything. It's,
yes,
everything across the board, because there are differences.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's a whole other conversation,
yeah,
but it is important to mention, right? Like,
very, very prevalent right now.
It is, but it's also important to talk about and to mention, just because there are differences, and that's how we create change, is by talking,
yeah,
about it and creating awareness that there are differences. But okay. So what I would like to do is ask a question on, okay. So, From an injury standpoint, are there some injuries that are more prevalent in the female population that you've noticed?
I think it's not so much that there are more injuries that are more prevalent, but that the root cause or potential differential diagnosis isn't well understood.
Ooh, okay, go ahead.
So I'm gonna use, and then again, I think, like, understanding the athlete as a whole, so that movement, energy, physiology piece isn't applied. And so therefore, if you miss that piece, if they have an irregular cycle and they have lots of inflammation, like, they're not going to recover fully. So I think that gets missed, and you can apply that to any kind of injury. But I think one example that I'll use is like knee pain or patellofemoral pain or whatever you want to call it, anterior knee pain, can actually be a visceral somatic referral from your uterus and ovaries. So like a heart attack produces shoulder pain, your uterus and ovaries can produce referred pain to your knee. And so think of your young athlete who has just gotten their menstrual cycle, and it's totally normal in the first 2 years of menstruating for it to be all over the place and your hormones all over the place. And so your ovaries might be going crazy and referring pain down to your knee. So if you just treat the knee, you miss it entirely.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Like that's huge. And so, and for me, like I don't do visceral work, but I know that connection. And there are other signs the body will give me that I know where to treat and intervene. And so for those like who are like, well, what's the anatomy? Okay, well, your uterine tube is innervated by segments from thoracic 10 to lumbar 2 vertebrae. And your knee, the nerves that supply your knee are your obturator nerve, your femoral nerve, and then we also have the saphenous nerve, and their lumbar segments L2 to L4. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a lot more overlap if you want to get into the hip as well, but that's just like one example. And so again, it's like, I always think of it like layers. You have to understand the layers of the body and what you're looking for, because it's never just like, I shouldn't say never. It's hardly ever just patellofemoral pain syndrome or whatever that is to you, if that makes sense. So I think it's like, again, you have to understand that there's that level of a female physiology. And so then you need to be able to apply that. So the other thing is like, if an athlete comes in and they have PCOS, so polycystic ovary syndrome, or what's the other one? Not PCOS. I knew I was gonna like have a brain blip today. It's like I felt it. Endometriosis.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, endometriosis. So those can be huge contributing factors to visceral somatic referral, meaning musculoskeletal pain showing up in a person, but it's really of a pelvic organ origin. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand like those issues that arise with a female and their physiology, then you'll totally miss the boat on helping them with their pain problem.
Totally.
And not to say like, don't like, not if people are listening, not to say like, don't get treatment. Like, yes, you, the same way that like the visceral somatic reflex produces these, you can also treat, like if you're treating the knee, it's still going to help things because that reflex works the same way, but it's just not the only part of the picture that needs to be addressed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for a lot of people, for a lot of women who maybe get low back pain when they have like cramps or something like that when their period starts, a lot of the times getting adjusted can be really helpful for the cramping, but also just to relieve some of that low back discomfort, which will in many ways, when you have that low back pain or discomfort, like you will move differently throughout your day because you're kind of trying to avoid the pain, you know? So you're going to tense up a little bit more. It's going to cause a little bit more tension throughout your thoracic spine and your neck, right? It's going to potentially cause a little bit more pain through your shoulders because you might be kind of trying to like round forward, avoiding that, you know, whatever that is. Or heck, you might just decide you're going to lay on your couch all day, which then means you get no movement, and that's going to have an impact, right, on your day as well and on your body. And so not getting treatment isn't necessarily the right idea. It's just understand the layers, right?
Yes. Understand the layers for sure. And I think that's the best way to put it. Understand the layers. Actually, you brought this something, unless you have another question, you brought something up earlier about the ACL. We talked about, so female athletes have a higher incidence of non-contact ACL injuries,
right?
Which means that it's like landing from a jump and you blow out your ACL, not like getting hit in soccer or something. And
Like stepping off a curb,
yes,
something that you normally would do. And then all of a sudden, pop.
yeah, a jump shot in basketball and now it's gone. Yeah. There's some cool research. I don't know if it's cool. I think it's cool, but research coming that it's more likely to happen in the second phase of your menstrual cycle. And so this is going to evolve and we're going to learn a lot more, but then it has to do with the increased inflammation in the second part of your cycle. And protein catabolism happening
from progesterone. Yep. In that second phase, in the luteal phase. Yep.
And so that's not to say, like, if you're an athlete, like, don't be afraid to keep training and playing during the second phase of your cycle. Like, that's not what this is meant to be. But again, we've put all of our focus on ACL prevention in terms of neuromuscular strengthening, which is still going to be super helpful. But what if there's another piece to that puzzle?
Oh, there is.
It's turning out there is. Yeah. And so again, it is more information. The more information we have, the better we can support our female athletes.
Right. We're going to take that a step further. So, and then on top of that, if there's if they are on the oral contraceptive pill, mm-hmm. what happens with those hormones is estrogen and progesterone are because your natural ones are that you produce are, that, well, they're brought down, right? But you still have this free floating estrogen and progesterone synthetic form of those hormones floating through your system. The issue with that is that a lot of women aren't told when they go on that on that pill that they are going to be in that luteal phase, that second hormone phase, through the majority of the month. And there's an issue with that, which is number one, they're not told that they need to increase their antioxidants from food, not supplements, but from food. They need to be eating more fruits, vegetables, your omega-3s, your fish, like all of that, those anti-inflammatory antioxidant foods become even more important when you take the oral contraceptive pill from any standpoint, but especially if you are training, you have to do it because it's going to have an impact on inflammation in your system, just as you're mentioning. You don't know the impact of what that might have. And because the estrogen and progesterone are a little bit higher, you're going to have that muscle catabolism breakdown, which is going to make protein far more important to make sure that you're prioritizing that.
Yes.
All the things just become so much more important. But again, our practitioners aren't talking about this when they're putting their patients on birth control. And so it's like so darn common for my athletes to come in and I'll ask them, I'll be like, okay, are you on birth control? Which one are you on? And then I have to go back to square one and re-educate them on what is actually happening physiologically in their system. And so I'm really excited to hear about this research that's coming out because it's important. It's part of the picture of why we see these injuries in women. And they can absolutely be prevented. Like, that's the thing, right? Like they can absolutely be prevented.
Yeah.
So gosh, that's really cool. I'm excited to see that.
You brought up a really interesting point that I think, maybe some people are aware of and maybe they aren't, but like a lot of females will get put on hormonal contraceptives, so birth control, oftentimes not for preventing getting pregnant, but for managing symptoms of an unhealthy menstrual cycle.
Yes, all the time.
And so you're masking.
Yeah.
You're just masking. It's a Band-Aid and it's going to show up in other ways.
That's right.
And so it's so like, I'm so glad you brought that up because that's really important. So like, if I always want to know, like, why did you go on birth control? Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important. I am pro birth control. It has done a lot.
Yeah, I say this every single time we start talking about it. Yes.
please don't think that. But I do think there's lots of other options and you need to think of like, why are you going on it? And then have all the information to make an informed decision for yourself. And we don't get given all of the information.
Yes.
It's such a like common thing to give out.
Yeah. I'm not picking on birth control. I'm just saying,
either.
I'm just saying that in many ways, like our informed consent. So the conversations that you have with your practitioner need to improve. And I am not a prescribing physician and chiropractors in the United States cannot prescribe anything. So my conversations are based on, do you know why you're taking it? Mm-hmm. And then what were you trying to accomplish? And did you know that there are other options that you can now go and talk to your physician about? Because I actually took the time to teach you about them, but I don't take anybody on or off of prescription medication, yeah, like ever, because I can't. But it's all about trying to educate my patients and the people that come to me for help, because they're not getting that education and they don't know how these things are affecting their systems. And that's kind of a problem.
It's a huge problem because it is showing up. It does show up in the form of poor performance and injuries, like stress fractures.
Yep.
And, you know, there's lots of stories of athletes sharing their experience now. And like something that stands out to me is a lot of times a female will be put on birth control like around the age of 15 or 16.
Oh yeah.
Because of painful periods or heavy periods or like it's usually or bad skin, right?
Yep.
And bone development for females is between the age of 12 to 25. Yep. Like that's it. You know, like, yes, you can influence it later, but like, that's like your peak bone mass development time. Like, and if you're not having a healthy cycle of progesterone and estrogen, that impairs your bone formation.
Yep.
And so that's like a big deal.
Yep. It is. And some of them are better than others. There are some birth controls that are more local to the uterus. So like your IUDs, things like that, that are lower dose hormones, things like that, that will have far less of an impact on your system. But they may not do some of the things that you want them to do, like help with your skin stuff, things that they may not also potentially have an effect on migraines if you get those around your periods, you know, things that people tend to go on birth control for to try to control their hormones. They don't always have that type of an impact, which is why a lot of people go on the pill. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, so those are, but as you also said, and as I think a lot of my listeners and people know, it's about the root cause, which you've talked on quite a bit, which is you have to ask the questions. You have to understand why you're doing things. If you're trying to cover something up with a pill, doesn't mean that you have to get off of birth control, or it doesn't mean that you have to get off of that medication. It's just, if there was already something going on underneath the surface, it's still going on because you didn't actually fix the problem. You just decided to do something that would change the symptoms and make your labs potentially look nicer, but it doesn't actually address what caused it in the first place, which is why looking at a systems-based approach, like you talked about, it's not just about looking at the knee, or it's not just about looking at the shoulder. It's about looking at everything that's happening in the body at that time. Mm-hmm. And potentially in the past history as well, that will give you a far better look into what's going on with that person and with that patient than just saying like, well, let's just try this and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You can just take this for forever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
But I think that's a like functional medicine. It's like just different way of looking at the root cause of things. Isn't really about the name or about the way of like the type of medicine that you practice or whatever that you do. It's just more a product of seeing that there are far too many things happening in the medical system and far too many patients who are just not getting everything that they could. And that's why we do what we do.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's like, 'cause I know touching on the injury piece, and you had said earlier, it's about like building your team. And so that's also like the position I take from it. So I, as a physiotherapist, will work on your movement and muscle tension and strength and other findings that the nervous system provides, and that I can treat with acupuncture, as we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
But it's also like having that team. So like, although I may not make nutritional recommendations, if there are a lot of energy deficits happening and physiology issues with the menstrual cycle, like that athlete needs support with that if they want to reach their goals. And they're coming to me with a goal of returning to sport or staying in sport or you know, being able to lift their child, like whatever level of athlete you want to be. And so if I don't have that information and knowledge, I'm only giving them like one part of their team approach, and you need to understand like where other players need to come in. And that's like where I know you're talking with functional medicine. Like, honestly, like when I talk to clients about their menstrual cycle with their injuries, I'm like, it's like, we got to modify your schedule a little bit, like make sure you're sleeping, but I'm like, it's nutrition, nutrition, nutrition.
I know.
Nutrition. Like, I know. You know, and I can support you during that time. So for some of your, listeners, you know, if you're sort of thinking like, oh, that might be me, like I might be having some of that, you can like schedule your massage or your chiropractic adjustment or your physiotherapy session in that luteal phase or menstrual phase. Like, you can schedule those things when you're more like, when your recovery is affected, yeah, and you're more,
you in more.
It will help you manage that.
Yeah.
You know, and then on the flip side, you know, there's lots of research now showing to push your training in the first part of your cycle. And so you can start to align your team and your resources to best support you. It's not a bad situation. It's just with that right information, you know where to put your, like, you know how to put your team together, and then you know where to like contact your players and when you need help with what.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so important. Awesome. So what about for like our women who are kind of perimenopause, postmenopause, mm-hmm. what are some things that they need to be thinking about as far as like maybe bone health, muscle strength? What are some things as far as like overall health goes that also relates to the potential for injuries, things as we tend to mature? What do we need to think about as far as that goes?
So I think the key messages are for sure strength, because you lose muscle easier as you age, period. But then when you're perimenopause and menopause, because of the hormone fluctuations, it's harder to build muscle. So it's really important to include strength training, and also for your bones, the same thing. So because your estrogen and progesterone drop significantly, it affects your bone metabolism. And so you want to do some kind of weight bearing exercise. So not in the water, although swimming is wonderful and cycling is wonderful, you need to be doing something that's weight bearing to stimulate that bone growth.
Yep.
And those are really key. And I think also working on your balance. And a lot of times I think it comes back to Dr. K, to your area of expertise, because with the fluctuating and changing hormones, it comes back to what you put in your body. And so supporting them, sure, nutritionally with how they're eating, and they may need to change how they're eating to support all of that. So yes, you want to have those good exercise habits in place, but it really comes into making sure that your body's getting what it needs so that you can build muscle. So your strengthening is effective so that you can build bone, maintain your bone. Yep. And so I will see a lot of clients with like hip, like greater trochanteric bursitis.
Yes.
And they have a lot of muscle weakness, and it takes, yep, time. It takes a long time to get better. So it is also like you have to stick with it.
Yep.
But it is again a holistic approach, a team approach, because those, as your hormones fluctuate, it creates a whole bunch of disruptions in the body and how it functions. And again, you can work with it if you understand what's going on.
Yeah, it's so true. I think the things also that people can take away from this is that, so we wanted, if you have the chance, if you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s, especially if you're in your 20s, strength training, start it now.
Yeah.
Start it now. If you're in your 30s, start it now. Strength training, start incorporating that in. And this does not have to be doing massive clean and jerks with your bar weights and snatches and all this Olympic lifting. I like Olympic lifting because I think that there are some benefits from it. However, it can be as simple as having dumbbells or kettlebells, or heck, if you're stuck in COVID world, a bag of dog food, like, yeah, just something heavy.
Like your laundry detergent.
Yes. Just something that's like somewhat heavy that you can easily get a hold of. It doesn't have to be this crazy thing. It could be a 5 to 10 pound dumbbell. It could be a 25 pound dumbbell. I don't, whatever it fits in your realm, but like start doing some type of strength training. build that muscle because it's going to have an impact on how your joints function and the health of your joints. Like, how many times have you seen patients come in and when you tell them, let's start the strength training program, and their back pain like disappears over time?
Yeah,
absolutely amazing when we have some strong muscles. But that also has impacts on how you build bone. It has impacts on, and that then translates into your post-menopause.
Yes, exactly.
And as you mentioned too, a lot of our post-menopause women are afraid of falls. They're afraid with their balance and things like that, which I don't know if you read the study, but vitamin D can help prevent falls. And so there is definitely a nutrition component for sure, but just running, walking, swimming, doing those types of things isn't really enough. You do need to be doing some strength training and continuing to work that muscle mass, because that is part of literally what keeps you up. It's what keeps you moving. It helps balance a little bit of that drop in estrogen. And then, you know, fussing, yes, with your nutrition. We need to lower carbohydrate and up protein, which is the opposite of what women usually do. But yeah, just taking these simple steps towards just looking at how your body is changing is all you really need to do. It's just a little more of that strength training. It's huge. It will have a huge impact.
I'm so glad you said it that way too, because I think sometimes when you introduce the idea of strength training, it's this idea like it has to be this big thing that I do a lot.
Yeah, like I'm gonna have to go join a CrossFit gym and join all these younger 20s that are like, doing all this crazy stuff. I'm not saying not to do. We have lots and lots of women that are, 50 up that are at the CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
But I'm saying more that it doesn't have to be that way if that intimidates out of you.
Which is good, which is true. And sometimes I think it's like even just like something more than what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, you know, just something more than what you're doing. Like just start, just pick up the dog food bag and start.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how quickly you feel the changes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're bang on. It's about really building that muscle strength throughout. And like, whoever's listening, like start it now, because you would not believe the number of clients that I work with that, you know, are over 65 and they're playing high level sports because they have the time and the money to do it now. And they're in Florida and they're enjoying it. And then, you know, they're annoyed because their knee hurts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, yes, we can help. Don't get me wrong, but there is a level of preparation you can do for your future self.
Yes, you can. You can. And as long as we continue to talk about these things more, like that's part of what this is all about, right? It's just when you learn it, start applying it. Doesn't matter what age you are, when you learn it, start applying it. And gosh, you know, isn't it cool to see, just as you mentioned, there's so many people that do, even, you know, 65 up, that start applying this, and you watch them and you look at them and they're just making huge improvements and leaps and bounds, and you can just see it, you know, and how they move and just how they do what they do. And then you also see on the flip side, a lot of people who look at them and are like, I could never do that. Mm. You can do this. You can absolutely do this. And it is not crazy. You know, like if you're afraid that you're going to hurt yourself, then you can find somebody. I promise you that they exist. I promise you they exist. Somebody can help you by watching you, training you, that is educated in helping you at whatever age you are. There are people out there. You just have to find them.
There are lots of great people. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. It's great. We didn't even get into a lot of the things that women can be doing for pregnancy, but that is probably an entirely other conversation.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. And I will say that is like kind of how I got started in my focus with female athletes, is helping female athletes return to fitness and sport after having a baby.
Yes. So we'll maybe save that for another podcast, because I would really like to talk about that. It is really important. I've just had a conversation with a patient the other day. I had told her to be careful because she was wanting to do an event, and it was, I think like 3 or 4 months out from when she had given birth, and she felt great because a lot of athletes are strong before and during, and then after they feel good because they had such a great base.
Yeah. Different. It's different now.
Get her prepared because she wanted to do it, but she did end up getting injured. And that's, it's very, it is what it is. We learn from it. We move on, but it is a good conversation to have. So I would love to have you back on to talk about that and how to safely re-enter into sport after pregnancy. Probably also touching a little bit on the fact that it is just a phase of life and you've got to let yourself go through the phase of life.
So. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Right. And again, it's like, it is a really great time to be a female athlete because there's so much more coming. But I think my plug is to your listeners is like, obviously they're here, so they're getting this information, but so this information isn't mainstream yet. And so it's just important to know about your own health so you can bring that information to your practitioner to get the answers and support that you need. And so understanding your menstrual cycle is a huge part of that.
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Is there anything else? I mean, that was a great way to kind of wrap this up, but was there anything else that we didn't touch on that you would like to? I mean, we didn't even really touch about the acupuncture piece. If we want to touch on that just briefly.
Sure. Yeah, we can touch on that. So I learned the methodology that I use from the Contemporary Medical Acupuncture Program, which is in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, but it is international. So we have lots of people all over the world. And it was another program that really opened my eyes to this holistic, looking at the whole person, the nervous system, physiology. And what's really cool about the neurofunctional electroacupuncture is that I can use it. It can be used to help address the nervous system from the autonomic nervous system. So that balance of your rest, digest, and your fight or flight, which for athletes is huge because athletes tend to be more sympathetic, which is fight or flight.
Yep.
Which can impair your recovery. So then you can have treatments to help balance that out, to help downregulate that fight or flight and upregulate that rest digest. So that's always included as part of a focus of treatment. And it's just it's an effective way to assess and treat where you can treat multiple body systems at once, multiple body parts at once. And I mean, I could like go on and on and on, but I love it for female athletes because I mean, for everyone, but especially female athletes, because as we were talking about earlier with the visceral somatic reflex, I can do acupuncture along those spinal segments or on the abdomen or different sites on the body that share the same nerve supply as the ovaries and uterus, as well as treating the musculoskeletal part of it. And so it works really well for those situations for sure.
I love that. And this is more of like a structural acupuncture. It's not necessarily the more like meridian based, like, you know, Eastern medicine, Chinese medicine type acupuncture.
Correct. So it's using the needle for different targets. So whether that be a motor nerve to elicit a muscle contraction or a tight band in a nerve or a sensitive part of the body where a peripheral nerve is irritated. And then using electrical stimulation to have further effects on the central nervous system, as well as the local tissue circulation. So very different than traditional.
Yep. Both serve their great, points, but I wanted to make that clear that there are actually differences and that you can look for practitioners that are able to do both that have different, there's just different reasons to do both.
Exactly. And they can absolutely complement each other very well.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So are you doing anything in sports right now?
Oh, I mean, I am like, it's really nice out here today. So we're trying to get together to play beach volleyball outside.
Oh yeah.
There's some youth programming starting. So I work with the local volleyball club. So I've been doing some stuff with them on and off over this lockdown period. But there's not a whole lot happening.
Yeah. I played volleyball. It was my first really big experience with team sports. I did gymnastics when I was younger and then volleyball through middle school, high school. And
nice.
It's a fun sport.
Yeah, I love it. I'm not tall, so like I'm not really defined for volleyball. But I don't care. I'm playing it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, my career in volleyball was quite short. Oh man. Yeah. But that's awesome though. Volleyball's a fun one. Do you have any plans for anything coming up once we're kind of out of COVID?
In terms of work, life, sport, yeah. Like myself personally. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm working on a 10K.
Nice.
So I'm working up to that. And I think it's just like seeing where it lands. But I usually play indoor volleyball, women's, and beach volleyball like 2 to 3 nights a week. Oh, I was thinking about taking up tennis. I feel like I need a new sport to learn. Okay. That's maybe like less dependent on groups.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Tennis is a good sport. My mom played it quite a bit when she was younger. It's a fun one for sure. I never picked it up.
If anyone has suggestions.
Okay.
I'm not great at soccer. I'm pretty good with hand-eye coordination and I'm fast. Mm-hmm. But I don't want any concussions. I've had too many. So
I know I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm quite careful about riding my bike. I don't typically ride on the roads just because I do a lot of my training on the trainer because obviously part of my job requires me to not have broken limbs.
Oh my gosh.
And things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of it's done on the trainer just because I want to limit my risk level.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, well, Dr. Michaela, it was amazing having you on today. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing everything that you know. All right, well, so where can they find you? Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, so website. My website has a lot of information and I have the Female Athlete Checkup. So it's free download. You don't need to sign up for an email list or anything. It's there. I just want people to have that. So if anything we talked about sparks your interest, like go check it out because you can check through. It's just meant to get you started thinking about your health and where you maybe can have some improvements.
Yeah.
And then I am on Instagram and Facebook, but not like a whole lot. You'd find me more on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I have a YouTube channel as you do, which is, I just have, videos meant to be information for female athletes. So just different stuff. It will be growing over the next year.
Yeah. So good. Where can they find that YouTube channel? What can they search for?
Instill Physio.
Okay. I will link it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. We'll link it. Cause even like this one has like the long letters. Cause it's not, I don't have enough followers, right, to make it branded.
Totally. With you on that one.
We'll get there, but we will link it in the show notes so people can find it. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for watching. Appreciate you. Please subscribe if you want to see more videos like this one. And we'll see you for the next episode of the Dr. K Show. Take care.